Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. Mother's Day is a day that we should remember and celebrate, not just one day a year, but every day, and any day is a good day to remember the gifts a mother gives to her children that God often uses to draw children unto Himself. After the birth of my baby brother, who is now turning 42, my mother purchased a Precious Moments figurine to represent all three of her children, Chrissy, myself, Katrina, and my brother, Kevin. The figurine was of a mother holding out three beautiful box gifts to her children, each wrapped with a bow entitled Life, Love, and Understanding. Every time I walked down the hallway in our yellow farmhouse in Forest, Ohio, and I looked into the cabinet holding that Precious Moments figurine with a mother holding out gifts to her children, I had two thoughts. First, I thought how true those gifts are that a mother gives to her children, the gift of life, the gift of love, and the gift of understanding. And second, I was thankful for my mother, who gave to each of her children and continues to give to her children and even her grandchildren and great-grandchildren those same precious gifts. First is a gift of life. The first gift a mother gives to her children almost goes without saying, because the very definition of being a mother is one whom God uses to give life to her children, physical life. Did you know what the name Eve actually means in the Bible? The name Eve means life or living. Adam named his wife Eve because Eve was to be the mother of all the living by giving life to her future offspring, which includes all humanity that stemmed from Adam and Eve. No matter what the world says or how crazy this world gets, without a mother, simply put, you wouldn't be here. But not only do mothers give the gift of physical life to their children, but also they can be the person whom God chooses to use to bring the gift of spiritual life to their children, which in the end is the most important. I think it's interesting that Adam did not call his wife Eve until after the fall in the garden, when the problem of sin, Satan, and death entered into the world. If we look back at Genesis chapter 3, which is all about the fall, we see clearly the chain of events leading up to Adam renaming, calling his wife's name Eve, that does not go without significance. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God's clear command regarding eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord God came walking into the garden, calling out Adam's name, not because God didn't know where Adam was, but rather God knows all things, and God knew exactly what Adam and his wife had done. Then in Genesis 3:15, God began to mete out judgments, consequences for their sin of disobedience, beginning first with that sly serpent, Satan's snake. God is speaking directly to Satan, but also for Adam and his wife to hear, that God would not let this mess that had happened in the garden stand. Instead, God said that he would work back through the woman where Satan had begun his work of sin, and through the seed of the woman, the promised one would one day come into the world and crush the head of the serpent Satan and be declared the victor, taking care once and for all the problem of sin, Satan, and death. Genesis 3:15 is actually the first gospel, the first preaching, the first proclamation of the gospel that comes immediately after the fall and the problem of sin, Satan, and death. But don't stop there. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, just a few verses later, this is where Adam renamed and called his wife's name Eve, the mother of all the living. But what's the significance of that? Many theologians believe that what Adam was actually doing by naming his wife Eve was saying to God by faith that, yes, he believed God's promise that God would one day send the promised one into the world. Think about it. Adam and Eve had just messed up and made a mess of everything. There was no hope in Adam or in his wife in themselves to make things right and return things back to the way they were to be in a right relationship with God, each other, and all creation. They had messed up big time by sinning against God. Their only hope for themselves, for this world, or even for their future children did not rest in them, but only in the promised one who was to come through the promised seed of the woman. So Adam, in the midst of all this mess of sin, Satan, and death, he heard God's clear word and renamed his wife's name Eve, because both Adam and Eve believed by faith alone in the promised one who was to come. From here on, we know the rest of the story, including the account of Cain and Abel, their first and second son, that actually doesn't start off all that well. But even here, in the midst of sadness, death, and grief over the loss of their children, Adam and Eve continue to rest upon God's word, and God blessed them with an appointed other son named Seth, which was their third son. The Bible says it was then after Seth's birth in Genesis chapter 4 that when people began to multiply on the face of the earth, that men, people, began to call upon the name of the Lord and believe in the promised one who was to come. At the end of the day, one of the greatest gifts a mother can give to her children is not only the gift of physical life, but also the gift of spiritual life. A mother's job, much like Adam and Eve, is to point beyond themselves in the midst of this mess of a world that we live in that's filled with sickness, sorrow, and death, and point our children to God's word and by faith alone trust in the promised one who has come and is coming again, because Christ is indeed the victor over sin, Satan, and death, and he is our only Savior. This gift of spiritual life is held out for all who believe, to every man, woman, boy, and girl, who just like Adam and Eve's children and their children's children, call upon the name of the Lord to be saved by faith alone in the promised one. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord worked in and through my mother's life to give the gift of spiritual life to her children. After my mother came to know the Lord through a Billy Graham crusade and the follow-up materials that were given to her afterwards that explained the clear message of the gospel, my mom trusted by faith alone in what Christ had done for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. God then used my mother's life as a conduit to bring my father back into a right relationship with the Lord. Then my sister, she came to Christ, and then I came to Christ at the age of 4. Then years later, when my brother came along, my brother also came to Christ at an early age. All three of us kids are now grown, married, and have children of our own, like 2, 2, and 2. And now today, all 6 of my mom's grandchildren have placed their faith in Christ, calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. Both Cody and Carly, Caleb and Samuel, Ethan and Aria, with only now the great-grandchildren yet to go. Praise the Lord for what he has done, and God alone gets all the glory. For it is the Lord who is the true life giver and the life saver. It is God alone who chose to work in and through the life of my mother to give physical life and also spiritual life, not only to her children, but also to her whole family. Praise the Lord. The second gift on the precious moments figurine that a mother holds out to her children is not only the gift of life, but also the gift of love. The gift of love naturally flows out of the gift of life from a mother, for how can you not love someone that God has used you to bring life to? Over spring break this year, Caleb, my oldest son, was talking to me about a whole new world that he was thinking about entering into called the dating world, which was a whole new world for me as a mother of a freshman in college. I said to him while standing in the kitchen talking with him, I said, "Caleb, I will love whoever you love because I love you." Without missing a beat, Caleb said to me, "Can anyone compare to a mother's love?" You know, I don't know if my son fully knew what he said that day or if he will ever say it again, but you know, that's the only Mother's Day gift that I will need for the rest of my life. Then on top of it, he gave me Lego flowers that he had built and brought home from college. My heart was touched and blessed. A mother naturally wants to love their children and easily gives them the gift of love day in and day out, until the real test comes when sometimes our children whom we love do unlovable things, like when they make poor choices, they make unwise choices, or even make outright wrong and unbiblical choices that goes against God's word. Well, what does a godly mother do then? Well, we pray a lot, but also we speak the truth in love to our children, because to not speak the truth in love is actually, as a parent, one of the most unlovable things that we could possibly do. But at the end of the day, when our own natural gift of love for our children runs out or hits a wall, that's when we need to love our children with God's supernatural and unconditional gift of love that comes straight from Him. Why is it important for mothers to give the gift of unconditional love to their children? Because at the end of the day, a mother's unconditional love is simply a reflection, an extension of God's love for us. Every time you as a parent give the gift of love to your child, especially when it is unmerited and undeserved, you are being a reflection, an extension of God's love to them. Do not underestimate what God can do through a mother's gift of unconditional love to draw their children, even their wayward children, who may have become like a rebellious, prodigal son, back to the Lord. The third gift a mother gives to her children is not only the gift of life, the gift of love, but also the gift of understanding, or what I call a listening ear, a listening heart. My mother, if you knew her, she is a talker. She's like a teacher, but also she seeks to listen and to give to her children the gift of understanding. I remember there were times in my life when I was contemplating different bends in the road of what direction to take, what school to go to, or what I was going to do in life. And what stands out to me looking back then is that during those big decision moments in my life, I do not remember my mom talking all that much, but rather what I remember is her listening to me as she sought to understand. Recently, I was listening to a podcast that said, the way you truly show people that you're listening to them and that you are wanting to understand them and what they're saying is to look them in their face, looking face to face. Just like in all the other gifts, the gift of life, the gift of love, and the gift of understanding, our ultimate goal as mothers, as parents, is to turn our children's hearts to understand and to seek the Lord's face. Being a mother is a wonderful gift. In its essence, day in and day out, being a mother is a mission, a gift given from God to ultimately point our children to God so they would know God's greatest gift. Years ago, I came across a story of William McKay, a Scotsman who grew up in a Christian home and had a mother on a God-given mission who sought with all of her heart to point her son to the Lord. His mother did everything she knew how to do to bring her son to Jesus, but he refused. Fearing as he went off to college, his mother gave her son a Bible and wrote his name in it, her name, and the date in the flyleaf as a gift to help turn his heart to the Lord. William McKay grudgingly took the Bible from his mother, but it was quickly stowed away with his other belongings and put out of sight, out of mind. Soon he fell into bad company at college and became a drunk. One evening, finding himself penniless, he pawned off the Bible that his mother had given him just to buy another drink. But even though McKay was a drunk, he was smart. He excelled in school and went on to become a physician surgeon practicing at the most prestigious hospital in all of Scotland. Yet even though he was smart, McKay was a spiritual fool. He completely renounced his Christian upbringing, rejected God's existence, and joined an atheist club. One day a man was brought to the hospital who was badly injured. McKay took one look at him and told him he was going to die because there was nothing that could be done. The man was shocked, but accepted the fact. Then quickly he began to ask, and he pleaded, and he says, "Please send someone to retrieve my book. I must have my book." The dying man persisted so much that Dr. McKay ordered it to be done, and the book was brought to the dying man and placed in his hands. McKay left the room while the dying man clasped the book, thumbed through its pages one last time, and then placed the book underneath his pillow, and then closed his eyes and died. An hour or so later, after the room had been cleaned and sanitized, Dr. McCabe came walking back into the room and demanded to know what was so all-important about that book. He said to the nurse, "Why did that man want that book so badly? Was it his checkbook or something?" The nurse said, "No. See for yourself. The book is still under the pillow." McKay lifted up the pillow and took hold of the book, but with one look, he was visibly shaken and startled because he recognized its cover. He hurriedly picked it up, flipped open the inside jacket, and there he saw his name, his mother's name, and the date written by his mother's own hand. This was his book, the very Bible, the gift from his mother's hands that he had given away so long ago. McKay picked up the Bible, tucked the Bible under his white coat, quickly left the room, and then shut the door to his doctor's office and fell on his knees. He could no longer deny there is a God. He knew there was a Creator, he knew he was a sinner, and he knew he needed Christ, his only Savior. Bible verses learned long ago, taught to him by his mother, flooded his heart and mind. He remembered all the ways that his mother had sought to tell him about the greatest gift, the gift of salvation given by God. Right there in his doctor's office, William McKay called upon the Lord Jesus, believing in God's promise that the Lord is the only one who could save him from sin and give him the gift of eternal life. You could probably guess the end of William McKay's story. Soon after, he resigned his prestigious position as a surgeon, enrolled in seminary, and became a beloved pastor, an author, theologian, and even a hymn writer in Edinburgh, Scotland. In the church, we still sing some of William McKay's songs that he wrote to this day. William McKay was brought to Jesus by God's sovereign grace, but also by the Lord working in and through all the gifts given to him by his mother, which God used in his time to bring a wayward son to the Lord. Praise God for the gifts our mothers give to their children, and praise God that God works in and through mothers to draw their children to himself, giving them through the gift of life, eternal life, through the gift of love, so that they would know Christ's great love, and through the gift of understanding, both mothers and sons and mothers and daughters would together turn to the Lord and would one day know and see the Lord face to face. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.